Blog Talk Radio.
And we are live on Band for Racing, NASCAR and Race Talk. This is Monday night, April the 17th, and we have a great show lined up for our listeners tonight. Now, we're going to start off with some of the highlights from racing in NASCAR's top three series, the Can-Am West and East, as well as the ARCA Racing Series. Some highlights of what to expect in the coming weeks and some of the latest news. And we'll do all of that during our first half hour here. At the 9 o'clock half hour tonight, we are going to have our guest on board, and that is Patrick Staropoli. He's been on the show several times, and we're looking forward to catching up with Patrick. He's got a lot going on. He recently won the Auto Nation Cure Bowl at Showtime Speedway. And that was a big win for him at that track. We'll talk with him about that. But he is also graduating. A lot of you know that Patrick is a Harvard business graduate, a Harvard graduate, and he's also attended the last 4 years the University of Miami, where he's getting his doctor's degree for ophthalmology, and that will happen in May. We'll talk with Patrick more about that during the 9 o'clock half hour. Then at 9:30, we have some big news coming at Band for Racing, and we're going to talk about that during that 9:30 half hour. And we'll most likely end the show a little bit earlier tonight because we have normally we have Sal Segala with us, and Sal was unable to be on the show tonight, so we're going to end just a little bit early because we won't have our usual guest for that 9:30 half hour. So that's our lineup for tonight, and we will get to that right now with this first half hour. Probably the biggest news that came out last week is that Team Penske had filed an appeal for the March 19th race at Phoenix when Brad Keselowski was fined, as well as his crew chief. NASCAR upheld that penalty appeal, and now there will be a final appeal opportunity for Team Penske, and that will take place on April the 25th. So fans can watch for news to come out about that this week. Because it is still on appeal, NASCAR is allowing the crew chief, Paul Wolf, to be at the race this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. So we will see Paul Wolf on top of the pit box for Brad Keselowski at Bristol Motor Speedway. He set out the race immediately. Paul Wolf set out the race immediately following, but he does face the suspension of two more races and will have to choose whether he wants to be at Bristol with the possibility of missing the following races at Richmond and Talladega. While the crew chief has probably a limited impact at Talladega because they really don't make a lot of adjustments with those types of tracks, that's a super speedway, it'll be interesting to see how they deal with that. Now, he could be at Bristol, and I just want to clarify that, or they may choose to they may have him go ahead and race at Bristol and then sit out at both Richmond and Talladega, and we'll have to see what comes out of Team Penske this week in that regard. So that was pretty big news this week. The other big news, of course, is that all of the teams were on break for the Easter weekend this past week, and they will be back to racing this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. one of the favorite tracks on the circuit, and both the Xfinity Series as well as the NASCAR Cup Series will be racing there this weekend. Also worthy of note, NASCAR's Can-Am East is also racing at Bristol this weekend. So definitely a weekend for fans to tune in for the racing. And we'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later. I do want to talk right now, though, a little bit about the Camping World Truck Series. Camping World Truck Series is on an extended break right now. They won't be back racing again until May the 12th. They'll be racing the Toyota Tundra 250 at Kansas Speedway on May the 12th. That race will probably start around 8 p.m. Eastern time. It'll probably start around 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. FS1 will have their pre-race show probably at 8 p.m. Of course, MRN and SiriusXM will carry the radio coverage. That race will be 167 laps covering 250.5 miles. Of course, we'll have the three stages, stage one ending on lap 40, stage two on lap 80, and the final stage on lap 167. But I want to just kind of point out a few things here with regard to the Camping World Truck Series. Because they're off for quite a while, but some of the drivers that were off this weekend, for instance, Christopher Bell participated in the Texas Sprint Car Nationals at Texas Motor Speedway last Saturday night, and he raced alongside the three-time Monster Energy Cup Series champion and Stewart Haas Racing team owner, Tony Stewart. Tony Stewart really thinks a lot of Christopher Bell. Bell finished sixth in the B main, while Stewart finished fourth in the A main. And when asked about Bell's talent and the potential in NASCAR, Stewart was not shy from praising Christopher Bell. He said, "The kid is awesome. He can flat out wheel a race car. That's the best part about him. He's also a lot of fun to work with, and I like being around him, even on a night where it doesn't go so well. He's smiling, and he's excited just to have the opportunity to run." So that was Tony Stewart's comments regarding Christopher Bell. And it's interesting to see what a lot of these drivers do when they're off on the weekend. I know I saw some news about Kyle Larson racing this weekend and winning as well. So it's really good when they can get out to the track. Bell, of course, captured his first Camping World Truck Series victory at Eldora Speedway in 2015. And, of course, Eldora is the track owned and operated by Tony Stewart. Now, also, tomorrow there is going to be a Camping World Truck Series rookie test at Iowa Speedway, and several of the drivers are going to be participating at that track tomorrow. That's Tuesday, April the 18th, and they're preparing for the Iowa 200 that will be raced there on June the 23rd. So the drivers that are participating in that test include, from Brad Keselowski Racing, both Austin Cindric and Chase Briscoe will be there. From GMS Racing, there will be Justin Haley. From Kyle Busch Motorsports, Todd Gilliland and Noah Gregson, as well as Harrison Burton, will all be at Iowa Speedway tomorrow. So a lot of these drivers have done really well. They are rookies, so getting that extra track time is certainly going to be helpful to them, and fans need to really watch for more news coming out about that test at Iowa Speedway that it will be taking place tomorrow. Now, Austin Cindric has participated in three Truck Series starts in 2017. His best finish was a 14th at Phoenix, though, in the fall of 2015. So he has raced before the three races that he's participated in this year, but Phoenix was his. Now, Chase Briscoe, again, has three truck starts in 2017. His best career truck finish was a third at Daytona in the spring of 2017. So he's off to a really good start in the series. He also won the 2016 ARCA Racing Series Championship. Justin Haley, racing with GMS Racing, has one Camping World Truck Series start this season. He finished 26th in Martinsville. The reason he only has that one start is because he's not old enough to race at the bigger tracks on the circuit. But we all know that Justin Haley is a talented driver. He's the 2016 NASCAR K&N Pro East champion. Todd Gilliland, he's a NASCAR Next member. Again, he has three K&N Pro Series West wins in just four races so far in 2017. We had him as a guest not too long ago on Fan for Racing Radio. He won a $10,000 bonus, and it was a pretty big deal for Todd Gilliland to get off to such a great start. And he did the same thing last year, if you recall, his start in the K&N Pro Series last season as well. Now, another great driver who did very well in the K&N Pro Series last year and is also a NASCAR Next member is Noah Gregson. He's going to be out there at Iowa tomorrow. He has three Truck Series starts in 2017, and his best finish is a fourth at Atlanta earlier this year. The third driver from Kyle Busch Motorsports, also a NASCAR Next member, has one Camping World Truck Series start. He finished this season, he finished 13th at Martinsville. And again, it's the same thing as Justin Haley. He's not old enough to race on the bigger venues. So this is really a big deal for these rookies to be racing at a 1.5-mile track. A lot of this may determine whether or not they can be certified to race on those bigger tracks. So it's a big deal, this test at Iowa Speedway taking place tomorrow. Now, they're on week two of a six-week break, the Camping World Truck Series. The series will, again, next race at Kansas Speedway in the Toyota Tundra 250. That will take place on May the 12th. William Byron is the defending race winner of that race. Matt Crafton finished second, Christopher Bell fourth, Ryan Truex sixth, and Timothy Peters eighth. They all scored top 10 finishes at Kansas last season. So that's something for fans to keep their eyes on. Now, we will have more about the Camping World Truck Series as we get closer to that May 13th date. What I like to do is when a series is taking a break at Fan for Racing, we do a news and notes segment that kind of covers some of the latest goings on within the series during their time off. And we also like to put in little tidbits of things to for fans to watch for as well. So, again, keep an eye on that for this this week because it will be coming out probably on Friday. We'll have an updated version of the NASCAR news and notes coming out on Friday of this week. All right, now moving right along, I want to get into the Xfinity Series. The NASCAR Xfinity Series is going to be racing the Fitzgerald Slider Kits 300 this Saturday, April the 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time at Bristol Motor Speedway. There will be race coverage of that, television coverage of that race on Fox Sports 1. So fans can certainly be on the lookout for that. The Fox Sports 1 will start their coverage at 12 p.m., and the radio coverage is on PRN and Sirius XM NASCAR Radio. They'll be racing 300 laps. Stage 1 ends on lap 85, 2 on lap 170, with the final stage, of course, on that final lap. Now, here's some of the information to be on the lookout in regard to the Xfinity Series. The big news for this particular race is that the Dash for Cash is back. Next week at Bristol Motor Speedway, it'll be the second installment of this year's program for Dash for Cash. And once again, $100,000 is going to be up for grabs for those drivers that are contending. You may recall that the last driver that won the first segment was Justin Allgaier. He took home that first payday for $100,000 earlier this season at Phoenix International Raceway. And if he can win the Dash for Cash at the next three scheduled events, which include Bristol, Richmond, and Dover, he not only brings home the $400,000 in total winnings, but Xfinity is tacking on an extra $600,000 to make Allgaier's Dash for Cash a total cool $1 million. So that's something to watch for to see if Allgaier can do it again and win, or if there'll be other drivers that will rise to the top and go after that $100,000. So, again, he has to race this week at Bristol. He has to race at Richmond and Dover International Speedway. So, again, those are the racetracks to watch for as it relates to the Dash for Cash. Now then, Allgaier's made 12 starts at Bristol. His best series win came in 2010. He's posting his first career win there in 2010. He has 5 top 5s, 7 top 10s, and his average finish at Bristol is 12.7. In his last 4 starts at the track, he's finished in the top 10, including a runner-up finish just this past fall. So, again, just to remind everybody about the Dash for Cash, the field will begin the race with stage 1, followed by stage 2, and then, of course, the final stage. Qualifying determines the starting positions for the race, and based on the participation guidelines announced last year, drivers with more than 5 years of full-time Monster Energy Cup Series experience are restricted from the 4 races in the Dash for Cash program. So that's something for fans to be aware of. They are not going to see any of the Cup Series regulars that have raced more than 5 years full-time in that series racing in the Xfinity Series this weekend. So, again, something to take a look at. We mentioned earlier that William Byron is the defending winner of their next race, of the next race in the Camping World Truck Series. He's racing this year in the Xfinity Series as a rookie for JR Motorsports or Junior Motorsports, and he is second only to Elliott Sadler. So he's off to a really good start. There's only 7 points between 17 points difference is what he was going into Texas. Leading Texas, he closed that gap to just 6 points behind Elliott Sadler. He's 19 years old. He's from Charlotte, North Carolina. So a lot of the drivers, a lot of the folks know him. He's definitely having a season worth paying a lot of attention to. In 6 starts, Byron has accumulated 2 top 5s and 5 top 10s. So he's doing quite well in this series. So definitely keep an eye on William Byron this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. Again, we're going to have more about the Xfinity series this weekend a little bit later, and I'll give you more details when that time comes. Byron, by the way, is also leading the Rookie of the Year standings. He is Byron holds the lead over Richard Childress Racing's Daniel Hemric, who is 24 points behind him. So you never know what's going to happen there, but definitely worth keeping an eye on. Roush Fenway Racing, although they seem to struggle in the Cup Series, and they are doing better this season, it seems like they do really well in the Xfinity Series, and this year is no exception. Ryan Reed is now third. Darrell Wallace Jr. is fourth. And the both moved up to those positions in the Xfinity Series standings. And they're on their way to catching up with Elliott Sadler, who leads those point standings. Both Reed and Wallace look as though they're planning to be a part of the playoff program in the Xfinity Series this season. So, again, another couple of drivers to keep your eyes on. Three other drivers coming off of season best finishes coming off of their best season finishes include Cole Custer, who finished fifth, Matt Tift, ninth, and Spencer Gallagher, 14th at Texas Motor Speedway. All three posted their best finishes in their career in the Xfinity Series. So, again, three drivers to keep your eyes on this weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway in the Xfinity Series. Another point of note, there have been six different winners in the first six races in the Xfinity Series. That's pretty exciting. It's the 11th time in Xfinity Series history since 1982 that the first six races of the season has seen six different winners. Ryan Reed, of course, won at Daytona. Kyle Busch at Atlanta. Joey Logano won Las Vegas. Justin Allgaier at Phoenix. Kyle Larson at the Auto Club Speedway. And Eric Jones at Texas. The record for the largest number of different winners in a single season is 18. That was set in 1988. And last season, there were 14 different winners in this series. Again, let's see how far they can go. So far, it's 6-for-6 in the Xfinity Series, and something for fans to be aware of. And of course, the biggest deal this weekend is going to be that Dash for Cash. So keep your eyes on that this weekend. Moving right along, I want to get into the NASCAR, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. A lot of great things going on there as well. They are racing the Food City 500 this Sunday, April the 23rd at 2 p.m. Eastern Time at Bristol Motor Speedway. They will be on Fox, so check your local Fox affiliate for that race this Sunday. They will be racing a total of 500 laps on that small track. That means 266.5 miles. Stage 1 will end on lap 125, stage 2 on lap 3, and, of course, the final stage on the final lap of the 500. So, again, 2 p.m. This Sunday. Set your DVRs and get ready for that race. Get all your snacks and everything lined up. Okay, of course, Kyle Larson continued his breakout season at Texas. He had a fourth runner-up finish. It's amazing what he's done so far this season. It's his fifth top two finish in six races. So, of course, we know he won one of those races at Auto Club Speedway. Only four other drivers have logged that many top two finishes in the first seven races of the season. A lot of people remember In 2015, Kevin Harvick had 6 top fives. Dale Earnhardt in 1987 had 5 top two finishes. Bobby Allison, 5 in 1972 and in 1979, and Cale Yarborough, 5 in 1974. So he's getting into some really big name company there with his results so far this season, and he's got to feel good going into Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. Although it's probably not one of the most favorite tracks of a lot of the drivers. Either drivers really, really like that track or they don't. So it'll be interesting to see what Kyle Larson does this weekend. His average finish in the Monster Energy Cup Series is 5.4. He leads the point standings by 17 points over second-place Chase Elliott. And I think that is noteworthy all in and of itself. Two of the young guns coming up in this sport are leading the Cup Series point standings. Martin Truex Jr. is third, just 40 points behind. Brad Keselowski, 41 points. So you see how tight that is. Joey Logano is fifth, down 72 points, with Ryan Blaney next at 91 points down, followed by Kyle Busch, 104 down, Jamie McMurray, 106, Clint Bowyer, 111, Kevin Harvick, 117, and they round out the top 10 in the series point standings right now. So, again, keep your eye on Kyle Larson this weekend to see what he does. Now, a lot of people were a little worried about Jimmy Johnson, and he came up with a win this weekend at Texas Motor Speedway. So he's shown that Superman's not dead yet. He's alive and well. And, again, we'll see what he does at Bristol Motor Speedway this weekend. Now, I have some more notes here on the NASCAR Cup Series, but I want to get ready for our next guest that's coming in here because we're going to be talking with Patrick Starpoli in just a little bit. He's a frequent guest of Fan for Racing, and I thought it was really a good idea to bring him on tonight because Patrick Starpoli recently won with his race team, Star Racing, the AutoNation Cure Bowl at Showtime Speedway in St. Petersburg, Florida. Now, here's something worthy of note. Before winning at that track, his previous attempts at that bull ring left him running out of gas, rained out, or with an accident just 5 laps before the checkered flag waved. And this last November, Starpoli finished runner-up in the 50-lap season finale. So to come back this spring and to win that race was a huge accomplishment for him and his race team, and it was great that he was able to celebrate that. But even more exciting, I think, is that if you're a follower of Fan for Racing Radio, you know that Patrick Starpoli is a Harvard graduate, and that the last 4 years he's been going to medical school at the University of Miami. Well, May 10th is his graduation day, and Patrick Starpoli officially becomes a doctor of ophthalmology, and it's going to be that's another victory of sorts because that is a long sought after degree for Patrick, and certainly worthy of celebration as well. So we're going to talk to Patrick in just a few minutes here about winning at Showtime Speedway. We're going to talk to him about his graduation in May and what's next for him. So stay tuned for Patrick Starpoli here on Fan for Racing Radio. We will have him up next. Now, another programming note here, time allowing, I do have a little bit of audio from the test they placed last week at Daytona International Speedway. We have comments from Joey Logano, who tested there, as well as Eric Jones. So I hope to have an opportunity. We may not be able to play the entire audio from them, but we will try to get at least some of that audio out for our listeners later on tonight as well. So it is now 8 p.m. Patrick will be calling him here shortly. Patrick Seropoli, a lot of you will remember that Patrick won the Peak Stock Car Dream Challenge. He was the very first winner of that challenge back in August of 2013. That gave him a place at Michael Waltrip Racing, and he was competing among 700 entrants from across the country and perhaps even some internationally. So Patrick won that and then went on to win at Irwindale Speedway, competing against Michael Waltrip. And now he's won at Showtime Speedway, and I'm sure we're going to hear more from Patrick Seropoli as he is here right now. So, Patrick, welcome to the show, and congratulations on your victory in the Auto Nation Cure Bowl at Showtime Speedway.
Hey, guys. Thanks very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be back, and thanks very much. It was a great win we had a couple weeks ago.
It certainly was. And talk a little bit about that, because you had a little bit of a challenge, or should I say a journey, getting to the point of a victory with running out of gas, you know, having an accident, getting rained out, and last season you were runner-up, coming so close.
Yeah, Showtime Speedway is down in Tampa, Florida. It's one of the tracks we race with our super late model. And I think every driver has certain tracks where they unload right off the truck and they know they're going to be good just because the track really fits their driving style. And Showtime's been one of those places for me in the past, but I've never had any luck, like you mentioned, when it comes to closing the deal. One race had so many caution laps, and they didn't count them. They only counted green flag laps, that we ran out while we were leading with a few to go. We were leading one race that I think rained out on lap 45, and it would have been official at lap 50. So just had, you know, every crazy thing that you can happen at that racetrack while we were up front. And finally, this weekend, everything seemed to go our way, and we parked our super late model in victory lane.
And Auto Nation is one of your big sponsors as well. So to win kind of the title race for them had to be a big deal for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to have, you know, Auto Nation always supporting us, especially in our NASCAR stuff. They actually, you know, were on the car. We had the Drive Pink stickers, but it wasn't their race. It was just a regular 50-lap showdown that they have at St. Pete. But definitely, you know, all year we're promoting the Cure Bowl, and they're planning to have it again this December, the football game in Orlando. So, you know, everything we do is to help raise awareness for breast cancer and raise funds, which, again, last year, I think it's been a while since I've been on the show with you guys, but the Cure Bowl last year, we ended up totaling $1.2 million to breast cancer research through all of the campaigning we did last year. So, huge effort. It's nonstop, and we finally got them to victory lane. They've been a great supporter of mine the last few years, and is happy to park it there with a checkered flag.
Okay, sorry for that misunderstanding there, but I think that's amazing, Patrick, that you're able to do so much for so many people with the breast cancer awareness and research. I also want to point out, first of all, Sal's not here tonight. He was not able to be on the show tonight, so you just have me asking the questions tonight. But secondly, I want to point out that you are a Harvard graduate, that you have been going to the University of Miami for the last 4 years. And you have a graduation coming up on May 10th. That's another victory of sorts for you. It's been a long road to get there, and you're going to be a doctor of ophthalmology. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And thank you very much. It has been a long road, and actually I finished up with my rotations in the hospital, so I'm all done with the school part now. I have a little bit of time off to kind of catch my breath after the last couple years, which has been pretty crazy between juggling the racing and the school. And yeah, like you said, graduation's coming up May 10th. I have a residency position lined up in ophthalmology at Bascom Palmer in Miami, which is a really great eye hospital, and they have, you know, the top residents in the country get to train there. So really blessed, really lucky that I have, you know, an opportunity to keep pursuing the medicine at a high level. And of course, now that I have a little bit of free time, I'm going to work in as many races as I can between now and when that starts to fire up.
Okay. And that was going to be one of my questions tonight, is what's next for you. Are you still going to be able to do racing along with practicing ophthalmology?
Yeah. So I know it'll be tricky, but I actually, you know, it's been the past 5 years now that I've been in med school, and I took one of those years off to go racing full time. And even with coming back to school, we've still tried to find a way as much as possible to balance the two and keep racing. And I know it seems even more impossible once I'll be a practicing doctor to do that. But I think, when there's a will, there's a way. And I love what I'm going to be doing in ophthalmology. And I also love and have a passion for racing. So every chance I get, I'm going to try to find a way to squeeze it in, whether it's, you know, a local late model race or what we've been doing, running some of the K&N races and truck series races. I think being a doctor, hopefully, will open up a lot more opportunities as far as on the marketing and sponsorship side to get people interested in the sport who may not have been involved in it before. And hopefully that'll lead to us running some more races. Like we talked about, I'm definitely excited about continuing with AutoNation and the Cure Bowl and the Drive Pink campaign. And hopefully that'll get us into some more races with a pink flashy race car again this year.
Okay, well, that sounds awesome. Now, I know last season you at Miami Homestead, or I should say Homestead Miami, you were able to race the Camping World Truck Series. Anything on that front on the horizon?
Yeah, I hope so. There's definitely been discussions about it since we ran the race. And, I mean, that was just such a huge deal to get to compete in Miami, where I was born and raised. I've been going to watch races at Homestead since the track opened. I mean, back when it was flat and most people don't even remember remember that track without the banking. But, growing up there and going to all the NASCAR races there, it was amazing to actually finally get to compete in that race. And we ran into a lot of bad luck. We had a ton of right front tires just blow out on us, which, part bad luck and part, nothing you can do about it. But the experience itself was awesome. There was a lot of, the newspapers and media outlets in our hometown picked up the story and helped promote the Cure Bowl, which was in Orlando. So overall, I think it was really positive on the sponsorship side, and I hope it leads to more things down the road. But right now, don't know exactly what those details are going to be yet.
Okay, well, stay in touch with us because we're always interested, Patrick, in what's happening next with your racing. You were able to, by winning that race at Showtime Speedway, you were able to celebrate with family and friends, and because it's so close to, you're a South Florida native yourself, as you mentioned earlier. So a lot of people that you know were able to be there and be a part of that victory.
Yeah, absolutely. Running the late model races is so much fun for me because it's a complete 180 from what we do on the NASCAR side. I mean, when you're racing for teams like Bill McAnally or like Tyler Young in the trucks, and they're already, full out professional teams that have people in every single position, and, you show up and your job is to drive and give good input, and that's what you do. And on the other end of the spectrum, we have the late model that I keep in the garage at my parents' house. And it's me, my dad, and my friend Katie make up like the core pit crew on this car. And I do all the setup work myself. We have like a makeshift pull down rig that I made. I used a couple rams and some chains and made it myself in my garage and try to mimic what these guys do up in North Carolina, in my garage at my parents' house. And, we don't get to race very often, especially with the school stuff. And so to go out there with that lack of seat time and with equipment, I think my late models is like about 12, 13 years old now, which in racing terms is very outdated. So to take that kind of background right there and go out and be competitive, beat the guys and girls who are racing every single week. It really means a lot to me. And definitely when it comes time for the race, lots of friends and family from around Florida, you know, show up and support me. And they all were there and got to come out for a victory lane picture. And, you know, nothing means more to the world and me than that to me. So it's it was really fun.
That was a really big deal, Patrick, to be able to win with your car. I was amazed when I read that your car was almost 12 years old. And to be able to take your car to victory lane was a huge, huge accomplishment. And you mentioned a shoestring of people that are there, including your own efforts, that made that happen. So it puts it into perspective how big that victory really was at Showtime.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you look around the country at a ton of short trackers, and lots of guys are doing it that way. And, you know, there's only a select few that get fortunate and lucky enough to race at the higher levels. But definitely when you go back and you're short track racing and you're against guys who are also on a shoestring budget and trying to stretch equipment and make it work, you know, you're going against the real racers in that situation. So I love the NASCAR stuff I get to do. I love the short track racing that I get to do. And anytime you're in victory lane, it's definitely a good night. So I can't complain about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I love that you do a good job of keeping everybody up to date. You have your own website, patrickstaropoli.com, as well as I see you on Facebook a lot.
Yeah, we have all the social media stuff covered. If you go to patrickstaropoli.com, also Patrick Staropoli, it's an athlete page on Facebook. And then my Twitter and Instagram handles are at 97 Patrick Star. So try to always bring lots of really cool behind the scenes content for people who are interested, whether it's at the racetrack, on my lunch break at the hospital, whatever we got going on. Life's pretty fast paced. So definitely some different things going on, I guess, on most drivers' social media pages. But it's a lot of fun. I'm on Snapchat too, same handle. So anything that you want to know or think you want to know about someone who's a med student during the day and a race car driver at night, that's the place to find it.
Absolutely. And, you know, it is unique, Patrick, to be able to follow you, because I've been following you, as you know, for quite a while now. And it's great to follow what's happening, you know, with your medical career. It's great to follow what's happening in your racing career. And you don't see that from many drivers, that they're pursuing a medical degree at the same time that they're racing a race car. They seem like worlds apart. Talk for just a minute or two, for whatever length of time here, about how you make that happen.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's not anything that I think I started out intending to want to happen. Racing was always what I love to do, but I was very realistic about it from the beginning, and I thought that running late models in Florida would be, you know, the ceiling, the top level that I'd probably be able to get to and still do it for fun. And, you know, we've talked on the show before, which I love being on with you guys every so often. If we put all of our shows together, we'd probably have, you know, one long story of what's gone on with me. But, you know,
it's
winning
true.
The Peak contest back in 2013 really got my foot in the door with Michael Waltrip Racing and Bill McAnally running the K&N races. And at that point, I was already a year and a half into medical school and, you know, took a year off, moved to North Carolina, tried to make the racing stuff happen full time. And, you know, it's very difficult. You got to be in the right place at the right time. And even though we went out and won a race and won a pole and had great finishes, sometimes things, you know, just don't line up in the right way. So having school still in my back pocket, I knew the smart thing to do was to go back and finish. And now I'm 2 weeks away from actually getting that MD after my name, and I can't believe it's actually happening. And in the meantime, I've still been able to continue to race, and you're just winning 2 weeks ago was incredible. So, you know, it's a huge time management problem. It's a huge sap on your time. I mean, you don't have a whole lot of extra time to relax, but you know, I'm still young, I'm full of energy, and I'm not ready to relax yet anyway. I'm going 100 miles an hour all the time. So whether it's at the hospital or behind the wheel, you know, I love doing both, and I'm going to keep doing it for as long as I can.
Yeah, I've always said, you know, successful people are usually following their passion. And I think you are a case in point when it comes
Thank
to
you.
that. Now this started out as a hobby for you and your family, right? Racing?
Yeah, that's correct. My dad and my grandfather raced when I was a kid. So I went to my first race. I don't even remember it. I was like 6 months old to watch my dad. And basically, went to school, did homework all week long, and then every Saturday night go out and support him at the racetrack. Then I started helping him on his car, and obviously fell in love with it from there. And I got started in go-karts quite a bit later than most of these kids that are racing nowadays. They start 5, 6 years old, and it wasn't 13 until I was 13 that I raced for the first time. But it started off as a hobby, just kind of grew and progressed more and more from there, and now I've been able to do it on a really competitive level.
Yeah, you certainly are, and it's fantastic to see the story unfold for you, Patrick. I'll tell you what, I couldn't be happier when I saw that you won out there at Showtime Speedway, and when I read further and saw all of the circumstances surrounding it, it made it even more rewarding to see. Is there anybody else that you want to make sure we shout out here tonight on the radio?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, like I said, I was excited we got AutoNation and Drive Pink in Victory Lane. But also, as far as the late model stuff goes, Rothy's Auto Repair has supported us for a very long time. Anyone in the South Florida area that needs their car fixed, take it to Oakland Park. Rothy's Auto Repair, best repair shop in town. Paul's Transmissions right next to them. So if you happen to have a transmission problem, you could go right next door. But they've both been huge supporters of mine for a long time. HMS Motorsports, which is safety equipment supplier for a lot of the NASCAR teams nowadays. They always take care of me and make sure I'm safe on the track with my belts and Hans devices and things like that. So all those guys make it possible for us to get to the track and buy tires and go out there and be competitive. So couldn't do it without them. And, hopefully we have a couple more late mile races coming up the next few months before we start residency. And I'm hoping if things go the right way again, we'll be able to talk about a few more victories before all that happens.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always a spot here for you when that happens, Patrick. We always enjoy talking to you. And again, congratulations, not only on winning at Showtime Speedway, but also on your graduation that's coming up on May the 10th. I couldn't be happier for you.
Thank you very much. That really means a lot, and excited to make you proud, and hopefully we'll go on here in the future and be able to talk about more races and some more medicine stuff.
Well, stay in touch. We're always happy to hear from you, Patrick, and we love having you on the show whenever an opportunity presents. So good luck to you, and again, please do stay in touch with us.
Great, will do. Thank you very much for having me on. I'll talk to you guys soon. Have a good night.
Oh, okay. Take care now, Patrick. Good night.
All right, bye.
All right, that was Patrick Staropoli. He's with Star Racing, his own race team, and I got to tell you, it really is a big deal. The win that he got out there at Showtime Speedway in St. Petersburg, Florida. And an even bigger deal, getting his medical degree this May. On May 10th, he becomes a doctor of ophthalmology. He'll be doing his internship, and I think it's fantastic. I don't know. It's very rare. I know of one other person, Lacey Price, out in the West, who is studying to be a doctor and also races cars, but she's the only one that I know besides Patrick Staropoli. So we always look forward to talking to him, and I thought it was great to hear from him tonight after that big win out there in St. Petersburg. All right. Now let's move on here. I mentioned I've got some more information here on the Sprint Cups. I'm sorry. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series that is racing this Sunday at Bristol Motor Speedway. And I want to get into that real quick because we have a big announcement coming up at 9:30 tonight. And although I'm giving you kind of a preview here of what's going to be happening this weekend out at Bristol, We'll talk more about this during the 9:30 half hour. Blaney, I think have been, Ryan Blaney has been pretty impressive this season. I know it sometimes hasn't gone exactly according to his plan. He had a 12th place finish at Texas, but he won the two stage races before that. So he's racking up some playoff points here. He had a race high. He led a race high 148 laps at Texas Motor Speedway. So he was pretty impressive at Texas, and that 12th place finish I don't think is really indicative of how well he really did. So I'm really looking forward to seeing what Blaney is going to do now at Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, a lot of people, we mentioned Jimmy Johnson earlier, the fact that people were a little concerned about what was going on with Jimmy Johnson. He wasn't having very good finishes. Look at what happened at Texas. He won the race. Well, Dale Earnhardt Jr., also from Hendrick Motorsports, along with Jimmy Johnson, has been kind of going through the same thing. And he had a top 10 showing at Texas Motor Speedway. So he had a 16th at Las Vegas and at Auto Club Speedway, six races to start the season. He had not won top 10 until Texas Motor Speedway, which is a track, I think that's where he got his first career victory in the series. So it's kind of a special track for Dale Earnhardt Jr., and it was good to see him come up with that top 10 finish at the track a couple of weeks ago. So he had a fifth place showing, in fact, in the O'Reilly Auto Parts 500, and he did get his first win at Texas in the year of 2000. So, again, keep your eye on Dale Earnhardt Jr. After getting his first top 10 since finishing runner-up at Pocono, and that happened in June of last year. So it'll be interesting to see how Dale Jr. does at Bristol Motor Speedway. Keselowski has been off to a pretty big start. Brad Keselowski started the season off with six consecutive top six finishes after his 27th place finish in the Daytona 500. He's got 10 playoff points and is the only multi-race winner of the series so far this season. And he's also one of the top drivers in the loop data so far for the series. He's first as far as his driver rating is concerned. He's at 113.6. He's run the fastest laps, 13.6%. Of the laps he's run. He is third in the average running position at 7.2, and he is fourth in the number of laps led at 232. So that's a pretty impressive start to the season for Brad Keselowski. And again, it's going to be interesting to see what he does at Bristol Motor Speedway. I also want to point out that Charlotte Motor Speedway announced their all-star race format for the NASCAR Cup Series, and that race will be taking place on May 20th at Charlotte Motor Speedway. And it's interesting because they had to figure out a way to incorporate the stage racing. So they did do that. And the race format is going to be as follows. There will be four stages with 20 laps, 20 laps, 20 laps, and a 10-lap shootout. So that's a total of 70 laps that will be part of the All-Star race this year. The goal for all competitors is to earn a spot in the final 10-lap shootout because there's only going to be 10 cars that will be in those final 10 laps. The winner of each of the first three stages will lock up a stage as long as they remain on the lead lap after the third stage. The cars with the best average finish in the first three stages will make up the remaining spots needed to fill in the 10-car final stage. The remaining 10 cars will be lined up by average finish of the first three stages, and they'll be given the option to pit. The exit off pit road will then determine the starting order for that final 10-lap stage. The winner of the race, of course, is going to get a $1 million reward. Now, this will set up a really big strategy component, just like the stage racing has done for the regular NASCAR racing. Each team will get just one set of tires available to use at their discretion. A softer tire will provide the car with more grip and thus more speed, but there's a catch. Teams that choose to put on their softer tires to start the final stage must start behind those that are choosing their regular tires. So that's just a little strategy component that's kind of thrown in to this all-star race that will be taking place in Charlotte on May the 20th. So fans will definitely want to mark their calendars for that Monster Energy all-star race at Charlotte Motor Speedway. So again, I think that pretty much covers a lot of the information that I wanted to make sure that I shared with everybody tonight. I know I'm on my own here a little bit. I'm going to have somebody joining me here, though, and it's just a little bit during our 9:30 half hour because we are going to have some big news to announce during that time. So while I'm waiting, let's see, we're at 8:26. We have about 4 minutes. Let's see if I can run a couple of minutes here of Eric Jones and his comments from the Daytona test that took place this past week. Eric Jones was a participant, and we'll listen just to a couple of minutes here of what he had to say after that test.
Okay, we're now joined by Eric Jones, Furniture for Racing, number 77, 5-Hour Energy Toyota. Eric, talk a little bit about the test the last 2 days. You guys have had time on the track, and also a little bit about your season. Off to a really solid start. You're in the playoffs, or the playoffs will start today. Talk a little bit about how you guys are doing.
Well, the test is, you know, it's been good. We went through some NASCAR stuff yesterday that they wanted to test out, and it all went pretty well. I think they learned plenty and, you know, had a chance to run around some different packages they tried and learned a few things. And then today's just been, you know, pretty straightforward tire test so far. So, you know, learning what we can for Goodyear and think we found a couple good things for them.
Coming up in July, this is going to be your first Coke Zero 400 July 4 spectacle. So talk a bit about coming back here in July. You have no Daytona 500 didn't go as well as you'd want it to, but what's the outlook coming back here in July?
Well, hopefully, you know, have a good run. We were finally in a good position in the 500 and it got caught up in a wreck there around halfway, I think it was. So, you know, we didn't want the race to end like that, and we want to come back here and bring back a little bit better car. I don't think we kind of had the speed we needed all weekend. So hopefully we'll be a little bit faster throughout the weekend and have a better finish out of it.
Questions from the group. We'll start over here with Holly.
Hi, Eric. Holly King.
Okay. Those were the comments from Eric Jones after testing at Daytona International Speedway last week. Another driver that did some testing out there was Joey Logano, and I am going to kind of hold off on playing a couple minutes of his post comments and audio about that testing at Daytona. This is all in preparation for the July race that will be taking place there later on this year. So, yeah, it seems a little strange to be doing testing at Daytona, but I think we'll hear a little bit of explanation of that when we listen to the post-race audio here in just a little bit. Now, joining me here shortly is our newest Fan for Racing writer at the Fan for Racing blog and radio website, and that is MJ Huseman. So welcome to the show, Jay.
Hey, thanks. Thanks, Sharon, for having me on. It's my pleasure.
Okay, well, we're real excited to have you come on tonight. I wanted to kind of give fans an opportunity to kind of learn a little bit more about you. I know we have your bio up at Fan for Racing, but tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
I've been in the Air Force for 22 years on retirement. Decided I had to find something else to do. Decided to pursue my passion with racing. And got in touch with you about a radio thing, and you put me on writing, which wasn't exactly my forte or my plan, but it's worked out pretty good. You posted the second article today. I'm having a lot of fun with that. I'm actually enjoying that a lot more than I thought I would.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that. Fans will remember last week we posted Forging Ahead that was written by MJ Huseman. And today we put up Kyle Busch, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly. Talk a little bit about those two articles, Jay.
Well, when you asked me to start writing, I wanted to do something from a fan perspective, you know, what we as fans see on the track and are thinking about. So Ford came out strong out the gate this year, you know, and I know with Stuart Haas making the switch over, people wondered whether or not they would struggle, and they came out and won the Daytona 500, so didn't have any problems there. But also Roush Racing, you know, they've struggled, had to downsize to two cars this year. Results aren't still 100% where they want to be, obviously, but they're showing that improvement. I believe Trevor Bayne's 11th or 12th in points. They've been real consistent. Ricky Stenhouse showing some good speed. So talked about all the different Ford teams, and again, Brad Keselowski being the first two-time winner this year, the only one so far this year. So, and Kyle, I know he takes a bad rap for his emotion, if you will. And I wanted people to see that there's a good side to him. What he does with the Truck Series and giving young drivers a opportunity, you know, is really special. And he's bringing more to the sport, you know, make sure it continues into the future. So wanted to reflect that of there's another side to him that, you know, people don't always necessarily see or hear about.
That is so true. Again, the Kyle Busch, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly is up at fanforacing.com as we speak. If fans want to head over to fanforacing.com and take a gander at that post today. Now, the other thing that you told me when you first contacted me, Jay, is that you really had an interest in pursuing radio, because one of the things you didn't mention in the About You segment here is that you've also had an opportunity to announce at Magnolia Speedway. You're right now stationed out in Alabama, and so you've had a chance to visit some of the tracks out there, and you did some announcing at Magnolia.
That's correct. It's actually Mississippi. We're right inside the Alabama border. Magnolia Motor Speedway, talked to the owner, Johnny Stokes, just asked him if I could go up there and get some experience, and he was more than happy to help. I don't know if any fans are familiar with Ross Tingle. He's another one. He's the other announcer there. It's been unbelievable getting to work side by side with him and learn from him. I mean, there isn't a night that goes by that I don't learn something from him, even if it's just watching and listening to him. So I've done that for 3 or 4 weeks now. I'm having a blast with that.
And racing is something that you've followed since before the Air Force. It's something that you and your family have been involved in for a long time here in the Midwest.
Yeah, I grew up in Minnesota, City Lake Speedway in Wisconsin, Princeton, Minnesota, Alexandria, Viking Speedway in Minnesota, a couple that I visited. Went to a couple of asphalt races. Back in the day, there was the American Speed Association. Guys like Darrell Waltrip and Mark Martin and Schrader had all come through. I got to see a couple of them race. Johnny Benson, I saw him before he came up into the Truck Series. So, yeah, I remember Shakopee, Minnesota, to Dale Earnhardt was at the track there. I don't remember if that was ASA or ARCA, but we went down and saw him. I got to meet him in the pits and get a picture taken with him.
All right. So racing has been a passion of yours for a rather long time. Now, one of the things that you mentioned to me when you first reached out is that you wanted to pursue an opportunity to broadcast on the radio. And so I saw that as an opportunity for us here at Fan for Racing to perhaps revive our NASCAR weekend preview show on Thursday nights. And I am very happy to say that MJ Huseman has agreed to co-host with me on Thursday nights, 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, our NASCAR weekend preview show. And we're going to start that up this Thursday, April the 20th, will be our first preview show for Bristol Motor Speedway. So when I was giving some information a little bit earlier, that's just the top line. MJ, we will be going more in depth with that preview on Thursday night.
Yeah, and
so
talk to people, you know, trying to get into the radio business, and they always say, you know, they were just in the right place at the right time. And I can't say that's more true. When I contacted you and you were like, well, I was thinking about doing this, you know, would you be able to do that with me? And I was just like, wow, okay.
That worked out perfectly. We had to kind of discontinue the weekend preview show for a while, because I was having difficulty finding somebody who could make that commitment every Thursday night. And when you said that you could do that, I was really, really happy that we would be able to bring that back. So Jay and I will be on every Thursday night for NASCAR, Fan for Racing's NASCAR week, 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, starting this Thursday. So mark your calendars, April the 20th. We'll be previewing Bristol Motor Speedway. And as we've already mentioned here, that will include not only the Xfinity Series and the Sprint Cup Series race there this weekend, but the Can-Am Pro Series East is racing at Bristol this weekend as well. So we will definitely have more preview information for you for that series too. And just a couple of other racing events that are taking place this weekend include the NHRA in Baytown, Texas, and then we also have the IndyCar that is going to be racing at Barber Motorsports Park. So that's a big, big racing weekend that's coming up this weekend. So I know that you followed NASCAR's top three, Jay, but Can-Am Pro Series is going to be something new for you.
Yeah, I follow them a little bit when they've been on TV, and since I talked to you and we were talking about getting this set up, we've certainly done a little more searching, follow them on Facebook and get to know the drivers so that we do go to preview them. Learned a few things myself about a couple of the drivers that I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, good deal. And I know you try to get to the racetrack on weekends whenever possible as well. But, Jay, I couldn't be happier to be bringing back our weekend preview show and to have you as the co-host. And I'm really looking forward to getting started with that this coming Thursday.
I appreciate the opportunity. And, again, it couldn't come at a better time. You know, it's a cliche, but it's Bristol, baby, and that's one of my favorite tracks. I've been to that one 5 times, so.
So you can tell us a lot about Bristol Motor Speedway. Now, Jay, let's also just mention here some of the tracks that you have been to, because you've been to quite a few of the tracks as well.
My first base was in Florida, so I went up to Talladega. It's actually where I spent my honeymoon. My job as part of the wedding was to pick the day of the wedding, so I picked the day before the Talladega race. So I went there, been
planning.
To Atlanta. Well, yeah, I thought so. I've been to Atlanta 3 or 4 times, and I've been Richmond, Chicagoland, been to Daytona, the Daytona 500 one time with my son. We also went to the Brickyard one time. And then as my family got more entrenched in race at NASCAR at the top level, we've taken trips to Bristol twice and Michigan once. And this fall, we will be marking off a bucket list item. We will be at Martinsville.
Okay, so that's pretty fantastic. So a lot of these tracks that we're going to be talking about, Richmond is coming up after Bristol, are tracks that you have been to. Daga is after Richmond. So those are all tracks that you visited. So you'll be able to bring us a little bit of your perspective when we do our weekend preview show on Thursday nights. Definitely looking forward to it again. And I know that you've been also, you've got a list of articles that you're working on too. We've got the first two checked off the list. What's the next one?
You should be getting that sometime this week. It is kind of relates to NASCAR's announcement of the Monster Energy All-Star Race with the change to the tires you were talking about. So it was kind of covering
okay.
some of the changes that have been made over NASCAR under Brian France versus the way it was back with his grandfather, a big Bill France. Another one that won't give away all my secrets here, but I'm going to take a look
at
Junior Motorsports.
Well, no, let's just leave it at that. Let's just
okay.
leave it at that one. I want to give fans something to look forward to here coming up on Fan for Racing, coming from MJ Huseman. Keep your eyes alert for any other articles forthcoming after the All-Star piece that he just spoke about. Jay, thank you so much for coming on the show here tonight and allowing us to introduce you to our listeners. And to help me make this announcement that you'll be co-hosting along with me on Thursday night.
I appreciate it. Again, I'm super excited. Bristol, again, couldn't be a better spot to start out. So we'll be ready to go come Thursday night.
Definitely. 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, NASCAR Weekend Preview on Fan for Racing Radio, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, we will be putting more information out that day on both Facebook and Twitter. We're also on Google Plus and StumbleUpon. I'm also now on Dig, and we have a Flipboard magazine now as well for Fan for Racing Blog and Radio. So you can check us out on all those venues. And what's going to be happening this Thursday on Fan for Racing's NASCAR Weekend Preview with myself and MJ Huseman. So take care, Jay, and we'll look forward to talking to you this Thursday at 8:30.
All right. Thanks again, Sharon. Bye-bye.
Okay. Take care now. All right, folks, very excited to be announcing that we are going to be resuming our NASCAR Weekend Preview show. We did that all year last year and part of the previous season, and I'm very excited that we're bringing that back. So definitely stay tuned for that happening every Thursday night. And I think MJ is going to be a big addition to our Fan for Racing team here, and definitely looking forward to working with him. Of course, Sal Sagala will be back with us next Monday night for our review show. We're back to Monday night as the review and Thursday night as the preview of the weekend. So I do just some top line highlights of what to watch for at Bristol, but we will go more in depth on Thursday night. Now, as promised, I wanted to play just a couple minutes here of what Joey Logano had to say about the Daytona test. So we are going to play that now.
Everybody good to go? All right, we got 10 minutes with Joey. He's him and the team, and great to give us a quick time here during this break that they have. Joey, just take us through a little bit of the testing, but you're going to be back here in just a few months for the Coke Zero 400. You've won the Daytona 500, so talk about your outlook coming back to July and what's going on here the last 2 days.
Yeah, of course. You know, obviously, tests are hard to come by these days. There's not many of them. And, you know, yesterday was an interesting day with a lot of different packages coming from NASCAR. And then today's kind of a Goodyear test that we ran through four 20-lap runs for them in the pack of the pack of five cars that are here. And, you know, they were able to kind of give them some data and help them make some decisions on their tire selection. And now we get to play a little bit. So the fun part's about to start for me.
All right, good. Any guys got any questions? Just go ahead.
All right, so that was just, again, a very brief comment from Joey Logano regarding his testing at Daytona International Speedway that took place last week. Again, I know I did this solo pretty much tonight. I know Sal will be back next Monday night, again, starting at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. I thank everybody for bearing in with me for tonight's show. I had a good time with Patrick Ciarapoli. Always enjoy chatting with him. And we'll look forward to having another guest. I think it's going to be a guest from Venturini Motorsports. I'm not going to say who yet, so you'll have to stay tuned and find out because the ARCA Racing Series is going to be racing at Salem on the 30th. And so we do have a Venturini Motorsports driver that will be here on Monday, April the 24th, with Sal Segala and myself. So take care, everybody. Have a great race weekend. We'll be back on the airwaves this Thursday, April the 20th, with J.M.J. Huseman. And I look forward to chatting with everybody again on Thursday night. Take care, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Good night.